Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your living word today, that you will open up our hearts, transform us, help us to hear the voice of the living God, we pray. Amen. You may wish to turn back to page 1218, 1 Peter chapter 1, which we'll be thinking about today. Well, a gardener went out and sowed some seed. He planted it in good, fertile soil. He watered it. Now, the seed did not look like much, but it germinated and gave birth to a small plant. New life occurred. With continued watering, the plant grew and produced some flowers and then some fruit. And all was looking so well until a drought came. But the gardener made sure the plant continued to be fed with water. He added some fertilizer, the result being that not only did the plant survive, but it flourished. The next year saw even more fruit. Meanwhile, a young couple were thrilled they were going to have a baby. A few months later, the baby was born. Again, new life occurred. The couple wanted the baby to grow into a healthy person. So over the years, they fed the baby. First milk, then solids. And they taught the child in order that the child might flourish. Today, as we continue looking at Peter's first letter in the Bible, we're thinking about new life. Our focus, though, is not on earthly life, but on the new life of the Spirit. That is, the new life that a person receives when they accept Jesus Christ as Saviour into their hearts. But it's also the new life that will come into its full, everlasting inheritance when Jesus comes back. That's when we'll have true life in all its fullness. But we can start living that life now. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. And I have three questions for us this morning about this new life. Firstly, how does this new life begin? Secondly, what does this new life look like? And then thirdly, how does this new life continue to grow and so flourish? First question, how does that new life begin? I've already mentioned it begins when a person accepts Jesus as Saviour into their lives, realising that he died on the cross for their sin. But how exactly does that moment happen? The answer comes in verses 23 and 25 to 25 of our Bible reading. New life is given birth through the Word and the Spirit. New life starts with the preaching of the Word of the Lord and with the Spirit. Let's work back from verse 25. The Word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the Word that was preached to you. New life starts with the preaching of the Word of the Lord. What is it that makes the Word of the Lord so fantastic? Well, notice the nature of the Word in verses 23 and 24. It's not a dead Word. No, it's a living and enduring Word. Unlike human beings, which we read are like grass, and under a hot subtropical sun, they wither away, the Word never withers. The Word stands forever. Looking at verse 24, it's quite a stark statement if it was just taken on its own. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Yeah, we don't last long, do we? 70 to 90 years if we're lucky, and then we're gone. But the word of the Lord, we read here, does not perish. It endures. It lasts forever. And the wonderful thing is that the Christian has been born again of this imperishable seed. In other words, a person who has the seed of the word planted in them has new life that lasts forever. Whereas the one who does not have this seed planted in them will wither and die. The Christian is born again into eternity through the preached word of God. This is where new life comes from. When God's word is opened up and studied and reflected upon, then something amazing happens. New life is given birth. Life that is imperishable. Life that endures. Life that will never fade. Now that's just an amazing thing, isn't it? It means that this book contains the words that give eternal life. This is worth more than gold and silver. Gold and silver will perish in the end, but this endures. It is imperishable. And through it, we can endure and become imperishable too. Just think about it. Eternity is here in our hands. It's an amazing privilege to hold it, let alone read it and preach it. But we do need to make an important qualification. If we look back to verse 12, just notice that the preaching of the gospel is done by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life through the preached word. You see, word and spirit belong together. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who works as the word of the Lord is preached and read and studied. We need both word and spirit together. And it is a pity that so many churches emphasize one more than the other. But today is Pentecost, and on Pentecost we remember how the Spirit came in power on the early church. Now think about it. When Jesus ascended into heaven 10 days earlier, what did he tell the apostles to do? He told them to wait. Don't start preaching the word of God just yet, but wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Why the wait? Well, because without the Spirit, without power from on high, the word would remain dormant. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings life through the word. What this means for us is that we need to be a church that takes both the word of God seriously, hence our emphasis on home groups and Bible readings and sermons, but we also need to be a church that takes the Spirit of God seriously. We do need to ask the Holy Spirit to come among us and enable the word to germinate and give life. We have two pictures here in our Bible reading this morning. One is new birth. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us new birth through the living word of the Lord as it is preached. And the other picture is of imperishable seed. The living word is that seed planted in us, and new life begins to grow. Now, as we know, a seed grows into a plant, which should then flower and produce fruit. What sort of flower and fruit should we expect to see when the seed of God's word has been planted in a person and the Spirit starts to make it grow? Well, this is our second question. What does this new life look like? And the answer is that this new life produces the fruit of love. We are to love one another. New life produces the fruit of love for others. Now, this can be seen positively in verse 22 and then negatively in chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read, first of all, verse 22, the positive statement. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that's the word, so that you have sincere love for your brothers and sisters, love one another deeply from the heart. You see, it's quite interesting to see what the planted word grows into. As we read the Bible, it's not simply about gaining more knowledge about the Bible. No, the final goal is not more knowledge, but holiness. The fruit to be produced is love for others. Now, if I was to spend my time reading and studying the latest DIY manual from B&Q, I think it'd be quite sad if I merely became a textbook expert on DIY. No, you'd want to see me apply those DIY skills, wouldn't you? You'd want to see new shelves go up in the rectory, shelves that didn't fall down. In the same way, what should we expect to happen when we immerse ourselves in the living word? So it's not about a case of just remembering where certain verses are, or being able to recite the books of the Bible in sequence, fun as that may be. That's not the most helpful fruit in the life of the church. No, the Spirit, through the living word, produces in us the fruit of love for others. The Spirit enables us to see as we read the word how we have been rescued from darkness into light in order to live for God. And he will enable us to produce the fruit of love. As I say, Peter then puts it negatively if you look ahead to verse 1 in chapter 2. He tells us how we should not behave as Christians. Let me read that verse. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Now, do you notice those words Peter uses? They're all words that destroy relationships, aren't they? They are anti-love. They're words that reveal a lack of love, a lack of respect. They're words that focus on our selfish desires rather than the selfless desire to honour others. When the Israelites were rescued out of slavery in Egypt, they began their journey to the Promised Land. The journey was not going to be easy, but they had been saved. They were heading in the right direction. However, they soon started grumbling. They soon started moaning. There were disputes and infighting. Well, Peter's saying, look, we too have been rescued from slavery, just like the Israelites. But we have been rescued from the slavery to sin, not physical slavery. So grumbling and moaning, disputes and infighting, sin, should not be the way of the church. It's not the way of the Holy Spirit. No, Christians are to put each other first. We're to get rid of all that yuck, all that malice, all that deceit, all that envy, all that slander. Because the big difference between us and the Israelites is that we have been born again. We have been given new spiritual birth through the living word of God. Therefore, we live the new life of the Holy Spirit, which produces the fruit of love. Unfortunately, all too often, selfless love is not the way in churches. I remember being in one church. Well, actually, there was a lot of love in that church, but there were also pockets of malice. And I was involved in a home group, and one night we started chatting about a church group that met on Wednesday mornings. And a lady in the home group said, oh, I'm not going along to that Wednesday morning group anymore. I found it so frustrating. All they spend their time doing is having a moan at what the leadership team are doing. And I reached a point when I couldn't stand the gossip and slander anymore. She said, Christians should not behave like that. Now, what made it even worse is that there were some non-church folk who would go along to that meeting. And what an appalling witness that was. The non-church people should have seen a community of love, but instead saw a community of bitterness. And if only that church were the exception, because too often churches are marked by these horrible words, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. But the new life born of word and spirit should produce the fruit of love, not malice. So how can we prevent young plants, young Christians that start off well, from going bad? Or to change the metaphor, as Peter does in verse 2, how can we ensure that an infant grows up healthy? How can we grow in our Christian faith so as to produce more and more good fruit and get rid of all that unhealthy yuck, as was listed in verse 1? Well, that's the final question. How does this new life continue to grow and so flourish? Well, the answer lies in verses 2 and 3. New life grows through continual feeding on spiritual milk. New life grows through continual feeding on spiritual milk. In other words, we need to continue as we started, feeding on God through his word and spirit. When Lisa and I ran our youth group in Sidcup, a long time ago now, 10, 15 years ago, every so often we'd put on fun social evenings for the teenagers. And one Saturday that we did, we put on a special meal, and it was Chinese New Year, so we cooked up all this wonderful Chinese food, lots of it. Some of the teenagers, you can imagine, jumped straight in and tucked in. One family of three teenagers looked at the rice with great suspicion. Believe it or not, they had reached their teenage years without ever having tasted rice. And they just looked at it and said, well, we'll just go for the noodles. Just taste it, we said, but they weren't willing. Well, finally, Matthew did get to taste Chinese rice dishes. And let's just say that the following year, when he came along to the men's Christmas meal, which was in a Chinese restaurant, I've never seen somebody, well, only a teenager can tuck into Chinese food like he did, especially the rice. It was as if his life depended upon it. You see, he had tasted that it was good, and he wanted more. Now let's look at verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, having tasted that the Lord is good, having been born again, shouldn't we crave more spiritual food from him? Just as a baby is born and needs that milk, we need pure spiritual milk. And we've tasted that the Lord is good. So just as my friend Matthew tucked into the Chinese, we should tuck into what the Lord has for us. As I say, a baby grows and starts to flourish by being fed pure milk. As Christians, we will flourish when we're being fed by the Word through the Spirit. You see, the gospel's not just for our conversion. No, we need to go on feeding on the Word if we are to flourish. Just as that gardener in the drought season kept on watering his seed so that it would not wither but flourish. Sometimes I wonder if many of us are drought Christians. We're hanging on and we're looking a bit withered. Well, without continual feeding on the Word of the Lord, we're going to wither. But when we feast on the Word in the power of the Spirit, well, then we're going to flourish. And we will then produce good fruit. Not only will we flourish, but we will then endure forever, having been spiritually reborn of God's Word and Spirit, and being nurtured by God. So on this Pentecost Sunday, let's ask God to refill us with his Holy Spirit and rejoice in this new life, this rebirth. We've seen how new life starts with the preaching of the Word of the Lord in the power of the Spirit. How new life produces the fruit of love for others. And how new life grows through the continual feeding on spiritual milk. Let's continue then to feed on the Word every day, praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us as we read. Let's pray that the Spirit through the Word will produce much fruit of love in our lives, weeding out the yucky stuff, weeding out the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy and the slander. And let's thank God for this new birth that leads to our everlasting flourishing. Well, let's pray that now. Why don't we take again some silence, and let's just ask the Spirit of God to work in us, to come upon us, to take this seed of God's Word and to really plant it deep into our hearts. Let's have some quiet. Holy Spirit, do come amongst us. Plant the Word of life in our hearts. Holy Spirit, come among us and feed us. Help that new life in us to flourish. Holy Spirit, equip us to live fruitful lives of love for others and to serve the church and the world. Holy Spirit, come among us. Father, send the fire today, we pray. Amen.